This morning, our word, we're going back to that book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel 47, verses 1 through 6. If you would read along with me as I read the word of God, and the word reads as thus. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. I saw water flowing east from under a temple's gateway. The temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple. It was flowing south of the altar. Then he brought me out through the north gate of the outer courtyard. He led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced east. The water was flowing from south side of the east gate. Then the man went towards the east. He had measured a measuring line in his hand. He measured off 1,750 feet. He led me through the water that was up to my ankle. Then he measured off another 1,750 feet. He led me through the water that was up to my knee. Then he measured off another 1,700 feet that led me through the water that was up to my waist. Then he measured off another 1,750 feet, but now it was a river that I could not go across. The water had risen so high that it was deep enough to swim. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. Let us pray. Father, we thank you and we give you praise, God. Lord, we thank you for giving us another opportunity to share the word of God. Lord, as I stand before your people, I ask that you would fill me with your Holy Spirit. Allow the anointing to fall afresh. Oh God, hide me behind the cross and come forth as only you can, God, and give me preaching power. Lord, I just give you praise, I give you honor, and I give you glory. This is my prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If I was to tag this sermon this morning with a title, it would be, "There is a river that flows," or "How deep are you willing to go?" These scripture verses was taken from the book of Ezekiel. Is a continuation of the theme, restoration of Israel. Ezekiel, as we have learned, is one of the major prophets, but unlike the other well-known major prophets, Isaiah and Jeremiah, who prophesied about repentance, Ezekiel prophesied and preached restoration. Isaiah and Jeremiah was preaching to the people to repent of their sinful ways and their worship of idol gods and turn back to the one and true God. They were called to warn the people to turn back before the punishment that would come if God took his hands off of them. Much like today, when warnings, words, and signs come to us, we ignore them. We are called those who come to bring that word crazy. They don't know what they're talking about. But just like them, we are doing the same thing today. It takes me to the days when I was young and my mother would warn us kids, but we didn't want to listen to her because we thought we knew better. We thought we were smarter than she was, and we thought she was old-fashioned and not with the times, but we were. They were warnings like, you won't miss your water till your well run dry. You don't believe fire's hot until you get burned. Of course, she was not talking about wells and fire. They were just metaphors. She was trying to tell us to realize how good we had it and to stop taking life's blessings for granted. Don't wait until you lose something good to appreciate it. That second word, that one called fire, simply meant learn to take advice and learn from other people's mistakes. Otherwise, one day that very thing may happen to you. Isaiah and Jeremiah was given that assignment. Their call was to go and tell the people and to warn them before it was too late. But Ezekiel was given the charge to encourage the people while they were in captivity, in their distress, and in their pain. Just like parents who are trying to tell us to do the right thing and stop doing those things that would cause us more pain than we were able to handle, so does God warn us. He tells us over and over again, and when he cannot get our attention, he'll lift his hand off of us just for a minute and let life teach us what we refuse to learn from him. In previous chapters of the book of Ezekiel, Ezekiel saw through visions and communications with God. Ezekiel recounted what has happened and why. He reminded them of what they had done and let them know that although they don't deserve it, God loved them more than their sin. God loved them more than they apostate against him. God loved them more than all the mistakes they could make. No, not that God is going to excuse what they've done, but he will bring them out of their mess that they've created and restore them unto him. Ezekiel was given a vision of hope for a better tomorrow, a vision of restoration and reconciliation. Have you ever just messed up so bad that it seemed that there was no way to fix it, no way to go back, and no way to make it right? Have you ever treated someone so bad and came to yourself and realized what you had done? Have you ever had such a great thing going for you and got so full of yourself that you mistreated, kicked it to the curb, act like nobody but you had any sense, and one day woke up and that she was gone? Well, I got good news for you today. You might not get it, him or she back, but God will allow you to be restored and give you another chance to get it right in life. There's these first six verses of the scripture nested in that 47th chapter of the book of Ezekiel holds a powerful message for us today. I love these scripture verses. I've probably read them over 100 times. Coming out of seminary, I was blessed to hear the Lord and see another part of the vision of ministry the Lord had called me to. It was a continuation of what he had already spoken to me and what he had called me to do. I remember so vividly the vision he brought into my spirit, just like in these scriptural verses. So I would be clearer about what my assignment would be. God knows how to be clear. He was clear with Isaiah. He was clear with Jeremiah. He was clear with Daniel. He was clear with Ezekiel. In fact, I marked today as my coming out. Not the day that I was ordained, but today is the day of my coming out. I have waited 6 years to begin preaching this message of hope, restoration, and reconciliation. The Lord gave it to me in three parts as a revival message. And I'm so grateful to have this opportunity to preach this message here at home today. So I come to you today with part one, verses 1-6. These scripture verses was for Israel, and Ezekiel was speaking. And it is for us today. The men and women of God are called to be disciples of Christ, to go tell the good news. Some are called to preach, some are called to teach, some are called to pray for the nations and specific situations. Some are called to support those who are called to go out to the outer parts of the world. Some are called to be missionaries, some are called to support missions. Whatever God has placed in your heart, he will give you the vision to see it and assurance in your heart that you will carry it out. Now let's go to the word. Those first three verses says, the man brought me back to the temple. To the entrance of the temple, I saw water flowing from the east under the temple gateway. The temple faced east. The water was coming down under the south side of the temple. It was flowing south of the altar. Then he brought me through the north gate of the outer courtyard. He led me around the outside to the outer gate that faced the east. The water was flowing under the south side of the east gate. Then the man went towards the east. He had a measuring line in his hand. He was measuring off 1,750 feet. He led me through the water that was up to my ankles. Here we see Ezekiel is sharing the vision of God has given him. The man is God and the temple is Jesus. Remember now in the Old Testament, Jesus was present, but the physical manifestation of Jesus the Christ, born of a virgin, the only begotten Son, had not yet come. Scripture tells us from the beginning in Genesis, the Word of God, Jesus, the Holy Spirit, was always there. The Gospel of John repeated in those first five verses in that chapter one, it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that had been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of men. The light shined in the darkness, but the darkness had not understood it. Here, God is using a vision of a physical temple to demonstrate the works of the spiritual temple. God the Son, Jesus the Christ. Here, God is giving Ezekiel a word for Israel, a foreshadow of Christ for us, a foresight of the Savior that is to come. Jesus is the temple. Jesus is the door. Jesus is the river of living water. From his pierced side, that's where grace comes. That's where healing comes. The filling power of the Holy Spirit from the temple, which is called Jesus. It flows out of the temple from the right side of the altar, the right side of the anointing side, the side of power and strength. The living water, the river of living water flows under the temple and starts out as a trickle. Then it becomes a stream. A stream becomes a creek. And then the creek becomes a river with a mighty flow of water too deep to wade across. According to Webster, trickle is a thin, slow stream. A stream is a body of running water flowing in a channel on the surface of the ground. A creek is that, I'm sorry. A creek is a small stream, often a shallow, intermittent tributary to the river. A river is a large stream of water emptying into an ocean or a lake or other parts of body, usually fed along its course. The important fact we want to recognize is that the river of living water represents the gospel of Jesus Christ. Not just the gospel as recorded according to the four gospels in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, but the whole scope of the meaning of the gospel, which is the good news. The good news is God's love to all people, offered through his Son, Jesus Christ. The good news from its inception was intended to draw all humanity unto God. The good news spoken by Jesus is the kingdom of God. The good news is for everyone. This river of living water that flows from the temple that Ezekiel saw represented the good news being sent forth from the temple, is the word, is the anointing, is the living Christ. It begins just as a trickle, then it becomes a stream, then a stream becomes a creek, then a creek becomes a river of living water that carries the good news of Jesus Christ. It becomes the preached word. It becomes the taught word. It becomes the anointing of the Holy Spirit. It takes up residence in all who believe and have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. The Bible is filled with river stories from the Jordan to the Euphrates, to the Jabbok to the Nile. Rivers have been central in human history as a place where living creatures gather to drink, to eat, and to be washed clean. God uses rivers as a metaphor to show Ezekiel, to show us how he intends to bless his people, to restore us to the living word that flows from the temple of God, Jesus our Savior. Rivers are also used in our history as well. Langston Hughes speaks of a river in his poem called The Negro Speaks of Rivers. I've known rivers. I've known rivers ancient as the world and older than the flow of human blood and human veins. My soul have grown deep like the rivers. I bathe in the Euphrates when dawns were young. I built my hut near the Congo and it lulled me to sleep. I look upon the Nile and raise the pyramids above it. I hear the singing of the Mississippi. When Abraham Lincoln went down to New Orleans, I've seen that muddy bosom turn all golden in the sunshine. I know rivers, ancient, dusty rivers. My soul grows deep like the rivers. The rivers of living water flows from the temple of God, from Jesus our Christ, our Savior. The first step into the river that flows with the anointing of God is found in that third verse. Then the man went towards the east. He had a measuring line in his hand. He measured off 1,750 feet. He led me through the water that was up to my ankles. This morning, we're going to talk about some ankle Christians. When we first get saved, we are ankle deep. We have just enough Jesus to cover our feet. Like the grace of God abound in our lives that we might be saved. Some of us are satisfied with just being saved. We don't want to go any further. We don't want to go any deeper. We're willing to stay just where we are. Yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm baptized. Yes, I have envelopes. If something happens to me now, I know I'm going to heaven. And I know I'm going to have a church funeral. But if I don't have time for Bible study, I don't have time for Sunday school, and I'm too busy for Christian Institute. All I want to be is an ankle Christian. I just want to walk out by the stream. I just want to be close enough to be connected when the time comes. I'm not interested in creeks. I'm sure not interested in rivers. Never mind about going deep in Christ. Let somebody else go deeper. Anchor Christians, how deep are you willing to go? Somebody today is struggling with being an anchor Christian, and I say to you today, God has called you to a higher place. To a higher place, he's called all of us. That second step into the river that flows with the anointing of God is found in that fourth verse. God takes Ezekiel a little deeper. Then he measures off another 1,750 feet. He led me through the water that was up to my knee. Then he measured off another 1,750 feet that led me through the water that was up to my waist. Now we talk a little bit about the knee and waist Christians. The knee and waist Christians is enough. Know that there's enough going, or know what is going on in the church. They have a little word in them. They can quote a few scriptures. We can say yes to the church work. Oh, I hold an office too. I'd be on the board, but I'm not looking to be sanctified, holy, and set apart to be a disciple of Christ. When we are up to our knees and waist in living water, it takes effort to move around. It takes power to move from where you are to go deeper. We have to be grounded and steadfast in our walk. Otherwise, any kind of current or unexpected movement will come along and take us down. You see, the knee and waist Christian know enough of the word to criticize others, enough to point the finger at some wrongdoing and show no mercy. You see, the knee and the waist Christians don't have time to share the good news. You see, the good news is for us who are in the church. The good news is not for everybody else. You see, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the priests despised Jesus because Jesus took the good news to everybody. Yeah. Jesus was the temple. So he came and gave himself that whosoever would believe and receive him would have the right to eternal life. Not just for some people, but for everybody. As a river, the living waters flow from the temple. It gets wider and deeper and further from the temple as it goes. There's a river running right through my house, heading out to Central Avenue, going up to Prospect, going down to Railroad Avenue. There's a river that flows out of my house. It's flowing with the word of God. Are you a waist, a knee and waist Christian today? Are you willing to tell the good news to somebody today? The knee and waist Christian think the gospel needs to be kept in the temple, in the church, so it remains pure and unspoiled. But God is sending that river that carries the good news deeper and wider beyond the walls, with or without you. God is calling us to a greater work, to tell the good news. How deep are you willing to go for God? You see, the knee and waist Christians are okay coming to church, being in worship, but not share the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news. We just like to invite people to our programs and events. We are called to invite people to hear the word of God, to study the word of God, to pray to God. We have to move beyond the knee and the waist and go deeper for Christ. We are called to encourage others to know Christ, to believe in the work of the cross, to accept Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. The temple, Jesus, who flowed through the river that all would know. He paid the price for our sin. He offers us salvation through his shed blood. He has anointed his word that we might have restoration and be transformed. He most of all came that we might be reconciled with the Father. There are some prodigal sons and daughters longing to be reconciled with the Father, but they just don't know how. Maybe we ought to be the ones to tell the good news. I read a story about two neighbors who every Sunday morning met each other going out. One was going to the golf course and the other was going to church. The neighbor going to play golf would always end his greeting with an invitation to the church, to the church-going neighbor. Come on and play golf with me. The church-going neighbor would decline the invitation every time with a smile. This went on for years, and then one Sunday morning, the golf-playing neighbor said to the church-going Christian, "I always invite you to come play golf with me, but you never once invited me to come to go to church with you." How deep are you willing to go for Christ? Are you willing to share the good news? God has called all of us to tell his story, to tell the gospel of Jesus Christ, that none might be lost. You say, "I can't go any further than the creek." You see, I can walk around in the creek. But if I go to the river, I'll have to swim. No, I'm fine right where I am. Are you being a knee and waist Christian today? Are you willing to go deeper for Christ that others might hear the word of God and be saved? How deep are you willing to go for God? This third and final step, this of the river that flows with the anointing of God, is found in that fifth and sixth verse. Then he measured off another 1,750 feet. But now it was a river that I could not go across. The water had risen so high that it was deep enough to swim in. He asked me, "Son of man, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. This is the time we talk about the over my head Christian, followers of Christ. Here Ezekiel has experienced what it means to go deeper in Christ. The Lord took him out into the deep. When you go out into the deep, you will have to swim. Everybody's not looking to go deep. The word says in the gospel, according to the word, the gospel message fell on fertile ground and grew deep roots. And it takes commitment to go deep. The river that flows go deep. God has called us to go to a deeper place, to learn how to swim. When the currents of life come, and we can keep right on going. When the waves begin to come quick and strong, we'll know how to mount up on those waves and ride it out. When the tsunamis come up without warning, we'll know how to get to a higher place in the Lord on the banks of our Jordan. The word will lead us and guide us. After the tsunami in Japan happened last week, the news began to revisit stories from the 2004 tsunami that hit the Indian Ocean. One particular story stood and held my attention. There was a teenage girl and her family vacationing in the Indian Ocean area where the tsunami struck. Minutes before it hit, she noticed the water receding and warned her family and everyone who would listen, "Something is wrong here. There's a tsunami coming. You see, the water is receding." She and her family and those who adhered to the warning moved to a safer place, to a higher place. She and her entire family and those who would listen were saved. Ezekiel was shown by God that the river of living water is going to flow deeper and wider and carrying the good news of God, of Jesus Christ, out into the deep. Are you willing to be an over-the-head Christian and swim in the river of living water where healing, where peace, where love and joy abide? The river that flows through the temple, Jesus our Christ, is for everyone. Are you going to stay an ankle Christian? Or are you going to settle and be a knee and a waist Christian? Or do you love God enough to trust him to be an over-the-head Christian? You see, the river of living water is filled with love and power of Jesus Christ. Some might say, "We just want to get them saved." Salvation is truly a gift from God. But clearly, God is calling us to a deeper relationship in him. Clearly, God is leading us to someone, to tell someone about the goodness of God. Yes. Clearly, God is calling us to a deeper place. That the gospel of Jesus Christ, the good news, will reach the world. Playtime is over. Splashing around in the shallow water is over. Every day we hear about wars and rumors of wars. We hear about disasters all over the world. And the question is asked, did they know Christ? This is our faith and our belief that Jesus died for all, that whosoever would believe in him would not die but have eternal life. Are you willing to go deeper today, church? The church of God flows that all might receive. How deep are you willing to go? Are you willing to swim today? Have the God blessed you? Are you keeping the blessings to yourself? How deep are you willing to go? Today, God is calling us to a higher place. Are you willing? Are you going to continue to be an ankle Christian? Are you going to continue to be a knee and a waist Christian? Are you going to strive to be the over-the-head Christian, to go deeper in Christ? For someone today, you might need to start at your ankle, but God will take you to a deeper place. I don't care where you are. He has made provisions for you. You might start out at the ankle, but then you will go to your knee, and then you will go to your waist, and then you will learn how to swim. You will go deeper and deeper. You go deeper and deeper. And as you go deeper, you tell somebody, "He loved me beyond my felt. He saw my need and he met it." We serve a righteous and true God. God is calling you today. He's calling you. He's calling you. get out of our comfort zone and think it's about us. It's not about us. We are just part of the program. We are his beloved. He loved us so much that he gave his son. Are you going to sit around and let others die and not tell them about the Lord? Are you going to come in here every Sunday and lift up holy hands and forget that when I leave, there's a river that flows? It should be all over you. You should be worshiping God to the point where when someone would ask you a reason for your hope, a reason for your joy, tell me how you made it over. There's a river that flows out of Mount Olive Baptist Church. It's heading in every direction. It's going from the east, north, west, and south. Yes, we are part of that river. We walk through it every time we walk in the door. This is God's house. This is not our house. We're just visitors. We came to be filled that we might go out and tell the world about a risen Savior who loved us so much that he hung himself high and let himself die that we might have life and have it abundantly. There is a river that flows, the river of living water. As I bring my message to a close, there's a song that I wanted to try to sing, but I can't sing. Elder knew I can't sing, so he ain't just follow me up. He just let me say what I want to say. But there's a song that I love, and it talks about we have to get into the flow of worship to let the worship river of our worship flow to God. God, I pray in all that I do, let the river of my worship flow to you. Let the streams in the valley that swell with the rain, let the songs in my heart, let them rise to bless your name. Flow to you. Flow to you, Lord. Let my worship flow to you. Let the rivers of my worship flow to you. Lord, I pray all that I do, let the rivers of my worship flow to you. There's a river that flows out of my house. Is there someone today who's willing to step into the river? Are you willing to give your life to Christ and say, God, I give myself over to you. I want to be in the flow. I want to be in the river that flows to you, God. I know there are blessings from me. God, you blessed me even when I didn't receive you, God. But if I come now, God, you're going to bless me even more. God, I know you got a plan for my life. God, I know you didn't bring me here for nothing. God, I know you got something for me to do. Help me, God, to get into the flow that I might serve you, God. This is no better place than right here at Mount Olive Baptist Church. Get into the flow. Get into the river. Come down the river today. Let God take you deeper and let the Holy Spirit take you higher. And then we would have done what God has called us to do. One day we will stand before the throne and give an account for our lives. What will you say? God, I was happy to be in the stream. God, I was happy to be in the creek when he says, I gave you a river that flowed from my son's side, the river of living water. Will you come today? Will you come today? Is there one today?